This podcast is brought to you by Google Chrome. Increase team productivity and work smarter. Get proactive security with help from Google in every tab. If you're IT, choose Chrome browser for your enterprise. To download, visit g.co/chrome/choosechrome.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, March 17th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Ever purchased a new skin, coins, or building materials in a video game? Well, the concept of ownership over those things could be changing.
We've bought many virtual goods and we say we own them, but do we really own them when we can't trade them or sell them for a potential profit? That's the difference here.
On today's show, our reporter Sarah Needleman, who covers the video gaming industry, joins us to discuss play-to-earn games and why they could have a big impact on the future of the digital economy. That's after these headlines. For the first time, Instagram is rolling out parental controls. With the new tools, parents can see how much time their teens are spending on the app and set limits. They can also view accounts that their children follow or that follow them. And teens can notify their parents when they report inappropriate behavior. The new controls became available in the US yesterday, but will expand globally in the coming months. Meta, which owns Instagram, also plans to roll out parental supervision tools for its VR Quest headsets in April, which would limit access to content that's inappropriate for younger users. A Russian version of Instagram called Rosgram is set to roll out in the coming weeks. It comes after Russia's state media regulator banned the US photo-sharing app from its country. The new app is set to launch at the end of the month for bloggers, sponsors, and investors. Regular users will have access in April. The service says it'll be available on both Apple's iOS and Google's Android operating systems. And Slack says it's suspending accounts in Russia, citing sanctions regulations in the US and other countries. The popular workplace app maker owned by Salesforce said it had a very small number of customers in Russia and said it doesn't have any employees there. All right, coming up, play to win or play to earn? That's the question facing gamers as crypto makes its way into video gaming. We'll discuss after the break.
If you're IT, Chrome is the browser for your enterprise. Increase team productivity and work smarter. Get proactive security with help from Google in every tab. Choose Chrome today. To download, visit g.co/chrome/choosechrome.
The idea of making money from playing video games isn't new. Gaming influencers can earn a lot from demonstrating their skills on streaming platforms like Twitch or playing in tournaments. Until recently, though, no one was earning much money inside the games. But new play-to-earn games are changing that, allowing players to earn cryptocurrencies or NFTs that they can then sell. Brett Vitt, who goes by the gamer handle Cairo, says at one point he was earning $1,500 a month playing the video game Axie Infinity, the same amount he earned from his day job in Kansas.
Prior video games that I played, it's the top 0.01% that is getting the money from the game. They're playing and winning in all the tournaments, and in this, it's anybody and everybody can come and earn a couple bucks.
But can this new type of game do more than just put a few bucks in the pockets of players? Joining us to discuss this is our tech reporter, Sarah Needleman. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
So, Sarah, let's start with some basics. How exactly do play-to-earn games work? And if I started playing tomorrow, how would I make money?
It's going to vary from game to game, but you are playing a game to earn some sort of asset that is backed by a non-fungible token and therefore has some sort of value. Or you may be required to make some purchases at the beginning of the game to get involved, purchase certain characters or cards that are, again, backed by non-fungible tokens. And now you've made an investment, essentially. But you're using that investment to play a game. It could be a card trading game or a battle game, just as you would any normal video game. The only difference is that when you shut down your computer or your console or whatever it is, you still own those items. And ownership means that you could trade them or sell them. Right now, if you in your typical video game, if you even buy a virtual character or a weapon, whatever, you can't trade it for someone. I can't give it to you. I can't sell it to you. I think there may be some games out there where you could gift virtual assets to one another. There are always some exceptions out there. There have been some games in the past that have experimented with a situation where you could buy it and sell it. The difference is they weren't necessarily backed by non-fungible tokens. So it created a potential for a scam. You say, you're going to trade me something. One person provides it and the other doesn't. And there's really no digital footprint to verify those transactions or the ownership. And so with blockchain technology, there's a ledger that shows the ownership status and when a transaction was made. And we don't have that with typical regular transactions of virtual goods.
How valuable are these NFTs, or how valuable do people expect they're going to be?
Well, that's a good question. And if I had a crystal ball, I would sure like to know, because just like with any investment, the value depends on how people perceive it. So if a game becomes really, really popular, getting in early and buying an NFT from that game could prove very lucrative down the road. But that's always a big question mark. We just don't know going forward how valuable these items will be.
You know, you mentioned that some people want to get into this early and see long-term value in it. I want to play a clip from Alexander Larson. He's the co-founder of Axie Infinity, one of the most popular play-to-earn games.
20 years ago, maybe I represented Norway in a game that I played, but I have no way of actually proving that because the internet is full of fake links and everything is, you know, just really chaotic out there. But if I actually had an NFT that was issued by, you know, the hosts of that world championship, you know, I could very easily prove to people, you know, I actually did this. That's a part of my identity, which to me has significant amount of value.
Sarah, obviously, as the maker of one of these play-to-earn games, he wants the digital assets that people get in his game to have monetary value. But it sounds like he's saying there's more to their worth.
Well, let's first understand that the whole concept of the NFT is essentially a digital deed. It's proving that you own something. There's a timestamp that tells you when you first bought it and for how much. And it's a unique item. And so what he's saying is that if you buy something in a game now, and you hold on to it, assuming you don't sell it, 10 years from now, it's still yours. And you could still prove that it's yours. There's that digital trail that confirms that you own that item. And we've never been able to do that before.
So we know that players are earning money by trading these NFTs, by selling them to other players. I'm curious how the companies that make these games are earning money.
In many cases, the marketplace within that game or a third-party marketplace like OpenSea, the original creator of that asset will typically get a percentage of the sale. So if an item costs X amount of dollars, the marketplace would take, say, 4% of that sale. And then if you go ahead, I sell it to you, Zoe, every time that transaction happened, the original creator may get a cut and the marketplace itself may get a cut depending on the rules that were designed around that particular item.
The gamers playing these aren't necessarily earning in dollars, so how are they making money?
Well, a lot of these assets, the non-fungible token-backed assets, are purchased and sold through these marketplaces that generally accept cryptocurrency. And the reason they are attracted to cryptocurrency is because that kind of money is transferred over to the blockchain, which is a decentralized ledger, essentially, that records these transactions. So it provides a greater level of security and ownership, again, and keeping track of these transactions.
Right. And of course, there's fluctuations of what a cryptocurrency might be worth.
Exactly. That adds to another layer of uncertainty here because they are constantly changing. They're very volatile. So you have these two things coming together. You have the question of whether or not something is valuable and people want a particular asset. And then there's the question of when it's valued in terms of cryptocurrency, how much that crypto is actually worth at the time that you may cash out or trade it. So you have to keep those both factors in mind when you're jumping into this space.
Okay, so certainly there are some risk factors. Are there any skeptics of this kind of gaming? And if so, what are they saying?
A lot of gamers don't like it because, number one, when they play a game, they want it to be all about fun. It's not about making money. When there's a financial motive, you may not be playing for pure enjoyment. You may be playing like a jerk because you just want to make money. There's also the concern about again, the value down the road. You buy something now, say it's, you know, about $5, the equivalent of $5, and you're thinking, I'll sell it in 6 months, it'll be worth $100, maybe, or maybe it'll be worth 99 cents. We just don't know. The other aspect is the lack of interoperability right now. I can buy it for a game, the game could go away, and I really have no use for it because it's not interoperable in any other virtual world. The expectation is that it will be, but right now that's not the case, and so some gamers are uncomfortable with that. And then we've seen scams in the NFT space. We've seen people say that they are creating games and they start selling the NFTs before the game has even launched. People buy them, and guess what? The game never comes to fruition. Intentional, maybe, or not. Regardless, you're out of money. And we have seen scams. And we also have seen instances of NFTs being created that were really stolen copyrighted material. Someone makes a painting, they may be even a famous artist, and then somebody else copies it and sells the NFT. Yes, artwork's a little different, but there's just this fear that these items are not legit and anybody's creating them. And what if you buy a virtual asset of a game character and it turns out the person who sold it to you didn't actually create that character? They stole it from somebody else, or they copied it almost practically the same. I mean, we're bound to see some sort of regulation around this because content creators don't want their copyrighted material stolen and sold for profit without them getting a cut. And we're starting to see some examples of that. So you can see why gamers are skeptical for all these reasons together.
All right. That was our reporter, Sarah Needleman. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah.
Always a pleasure.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from The Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.